weren't big into their liturgy. Now, that's set stuff that churches have written down. And that means I very rarely came across call and response. Yet, as I've begun my training, it seems that every single church I've done my placement in has done these call and responses. And it's something about Edinburgh Presbytery, I think, where the churches just love it. Now, I know in Liberton, it's more used to having it at the 9:30 service. I would say my own view is that I'm learning to appreciate it. It's something that I found unusual at the beginning, but I can see its use in setting your mind and approaching God. But I will also say that there is one call and response above them all for me. There is one that I just love saying. And it's one we used this morning at the end of what we said. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. There is so much wonderful, amazing, and powerful truth that is packed into that short call and response. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. It needs a little bit of something, though. We can't just say it without passion or gusto. Quite often you get, he has risen indeed. Hallelujah. And the most important thing about it is that we all say it in time. It's not about whether you mean it or whether it's conviction or passion. It's just that we did it in unison. It's a triumphant cry of victory. It's a sure and certain assertion. It's good news to the sinner. It's confidence to the believer. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. So you know I'm going to get us to do it now, don't you? So remember, conviction, more important than unison. You ready? Christ has risen. Lovely. It was almost as good as this morning's service. But stay ready. What they did forget is it will come up again. And while I was expecting whoops and cheers and massive shouting, I was met with dead silence. So there will be another opportunity to, with gusto, proclaim Christ's resurrection. But yesterday I finished, you could tell I wrote this yesterday. and I was talking about Friday. On Friday, I finished a Good Friday service, which is the day for Good Friday services. And I asked the question, if Good Friday is all there was, if that is where the story ended, how good would we feel about that? And Jesus' death on the cross was something marvelous to us. It was a terrible day, but it was something marvelous to us. It's where forgiveness was achieved, something that we call atonement. Sometimes people explain atonement by saying at-one-ment. We're able to be at one with God. All that separates us from God has been removed. And in these little sentences, there's massive implications. We really cannot understand the depths of what it means to say that a sinful humanity can have peace with God. Yet at what cost? If Good Friday is all there was, how good do we feel about the innocent, perfect Son of God giving his life for us? And it's exactly between the death and the resurrection that Mary Magdalene finds herself in. It was Mary Magdalene that Jesus drove seven demons out of. So can you imagine the gratitude that you'd have to someone who spared you from that amount of suffering? And Mary's gratitude was shown in the way that she followed Jesus around and his disciples and provided for them with another group of women. She served them. And you can just imagine that as that time went, her belief grew and her love for Jesus grew. And now she finds herself weeping at the tomb. Now she finds herself weeping at the empty tomb. And to the Jews, abuse of the dead or the outrage of the dead is something that's absolutely shocking. It is not done. And yet, It's only natural here that Mary assumes the worst, because think of the way Jesus died. It couldn't have been worse. So wouldn't it just be natural to assume that now in his death, people have also continued their mockery of him? It's only natural Mary assumed the worst. So she peers in and she sees two angels in white, and bright clothing is what symbolizes the heavenly world in the Bible. The presence of the angels is a witness to the power of heaven that has been at work in the tomb. And then she becomes aware of a presence behind her. And so she turns around and she sees Jesus, although she doesn't recognize Jesus as Jesus, although it's her attention is directed towards Jesus. This confusion. And it's only when he says, Mary, that she recognizes who he is. And she responds, Rabboni. And all the love and joy and faith of which her illuminated heart was capable were poured in to that one word, teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go and say to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to your God and to my God. There's a fundamental shift in the relationship between God and his people. There's a fundamental shift in the relationship between Jesus and his followers. He no longer says, the Father, or the Father who sent me, or my Father, but he says, my Father and your Father. And he doesn't call his followers disciples or servants or friends, he calls them brothers. It was achieved through the cross, but it was known through the light of the resurrection. That somehow through Christ's death and resurrection, his righteousness became also our righteousness. The way to God is open. The relationship with him is restored. The offer of eternal life is given. The resurrection shows us that what was destroyed by sin in God has been made new. That lives that were destroyed by sin in God have been made new, transformed by him. And what was corruptible has been made incorruptible. And what was perishable has been clothed with what is imperishable. What is mortal has now become immortal, for death has been defeated. And the resurrection was a vindication of all that Jesus taught and said and of who he was. And the resurrection was proof that truth is stronger than falsehood, that good is stronger than evil, that love is stronger than hatred, that life is stronger than death, and that grace is stronger than sin. To the natural eyes, the cross seemed like failure. It was only the supernatural that told us otherwise. It was a supernatural event that made it possible to believe otherwise. The breaking open of the seal of the tomb was the seal of confirmation of our salvation. Jesus lives, and he lives ever ready at the right hand of God to speak to God on our behalf. Jesus lives, and he lives ever ready to speak to us so that we can know Jesus, so that we can be united to Jesus, the Bible says, through his Spirit, only because he lives. Mary finds herself moving from fear and despair and weeping to a joyous proclamation of Jesus' resurrection. Her faith goes from a human reaction to an empty tomb that she doesn't understand. And then it moves to seeing Jesus but not recognizing Jesus. And then it moves to recognizing Jesus but not quite understanding what this relationship with Jesus is now like. And then it moves to witnessing to the resurrection, to going to the disciples and saying, I have seen the Lord. I wonder, on the sliding scale or where Mary was, where you would put yourself. Where is your faith today? Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. It's a good answer. Our question is, what difference is that going to make to our lives? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that there were no bounds to your love. There was no depth of what you would not reach. And yet what we see as the depths of shame, you called your glory. And it was your glory precisely because of what it achieved. And it was your glory because you did not stay in the grave, but you have risen. And we thank you for that truth and for all it means in our lives. Please enter our lives today. Send your Spirit upon us and transform us to be ever more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. We see a cross before us out of the Christmas tree that was here over Christmas time. And it's looking rather dead. And what we're going to do is transform it into something that's looking rather alive. You might get the symbolism for Easter morning. So please, you're invited now to come forward and to put your daffodils on the cross.